Hey, Jay, have you heard about BustedTees.com?
I mean, I set up our account and I've bought shirts there, so yeah.
Just, I'm trying to do a promo. Just work with me here, okay?
Okay. Tell me about BustedTees.com.
Gladly. They sell pop culture and geek-inspired apparel, accessories, and more. And their stuff is awesome. You like Star Wars, Jay?
I do.
You like video games?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Harry Potter?
Yeah.
Star Trek?
Yeah.
Humorous tees in general?
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah.
Some badass socks, cups, hats, hoodies, a bunch more, all that stuff?
Why, yes, I do like those things, Matt.
Well, then you know what you should do? You should head over to BustedTees.com and shop all their cool gear. And at checkout, put Jason25945 in the discount code spot. You'll get a nice chunk of change off, and it helps us out to boot.
That's BustedTees.com. Discount code Jason25945.
BustedTees.com. Designs that pop culture.
Hey, everybody. It's Mark Reznicek. They call me Rez. Here on the Mixtape Podcast.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
That's a mixtape.
We do.
Who needs a mixtape?
You do.
Who makes a mixtape?
We do.
Who needs a mixtape?
You do.
Hey, 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 hey. So come on and listen to our mixtape. Raise the roof and move your feet. Come along and laugh with our mixtape.
Ha 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 ha. Waka 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 waka.
So come on and listen to our mixtape. Sing along and clap to the beat. Settle in and listen to our mixtape. And now the music finishes. Enjoy your pork chop sandwiches.
Upside down and inside out. I'm about to show all you folks what it's all about. Now it's time to get on the mic and make this motherfucking party hype. I'm taking it back to the old school because I'm an old fool who's so cool. If you want to get down, I'm going to show you the way. Whoop, there it is. Let me hear you say, we all know the words. We all know the lyrics. We've been singing this song forever. So it was kind of a really big deal for us to get DC Glenn from Tag Team here on the mixtape. We reached out, we talked to him for a couple of weeks, and he agreed to come on, and he is an amazing human being who has really busted his ass over the years to set a career. Now, a lot of what we talked about was how he did that, how he took, you know, this band that created a song that was a hit and spun that into a career that has spanned 30-plus years. I mean, they are still out there, they are still, you know, performing and going to shows. DC he's awesome. It was a great time talking to him. We learned a ton. I pared some of it down. So what you're going to get here on the show is mostly him talking about how the song was created, what they're out there doing now, and a few stories behind the background, but just a fantastic human being. And we were really, really grateful that he came on. So I hope you guys really enjoy this interview. Hey, we have mentioned that the show is going to be going through some drastic changes. That's going to be coming at the beginning of next year. Hopefully you guys really enjoy it. But one of the things that we want to do with this show is reach a wider audience. We have been growing over the last year, and with that growth has come the potential to do more, to reach out to areas we hadn't previously really thought about. We also do our stats. We pay attention to what you guys seem to listen to the most, what you seem to enjoy the most, and what doesn't get as much attention. And we want to gear towards some of those things because you're our audience and we really want to make you happy. We have been going to more cons and we have been talking to more people. And so we want to open things up a little bit. We're going to discuss it a little bit more in depth over the next month or so, and hopefully you guys come with us for the ride. We actually think it's going to be a really good thing. We're not going to change who we are. We're going to continue being the same dumbasses we've always been. But what we really want to do is just open this up to a broader audience. Hey, it's been 5 years. It's time to grow a little bit. And that's what we're going to try to do. We want the show to stay fresh. We want the show to be pertinent. And we want everybody to have a good time. So big changes are coming. Just stick around. We're going to let you know what those are. On top of that, I am getting really close to launching. I've been talking about it, wrote a book, first published it back in 2019. It is called Lyric. It is a horror novel. If you're not into horror novels, you probably won't be into it. But if you are, you probably will be into it. Getting ready to release that down the line as its own podcast. I will let you know as that comes closer. If you're into it, it is a free horror audiobook podcast, and hopefully you guys will enjoy that. But we are getting really close. The website is up. You can go check some of that up, some of that out right now. JasonEmmett.com or LyricNovel.com will get you to that website. My name is spelled with two M's and two T's, E-M-M-I-T-T, in case you guys were wondering. And of course, this website is always up and available as well. TheMixtapeShow.com is where you want to go to find that out. But you know what? The easiest way for me to do that is to play our little social media clip. You'll get all the info you need there. And we're going to come back with an interview with DC Glenn from Tag Team. Whoop, there it is. All right, guys, we're going to make this one short, sweet, and to the point.
Title of your sex tape.
Shut it. We want you to join us online. We love to interact on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, so we kind of need you to go to those places. Not yet, not yet. Anyway, we are Tapeworms, fans of the Mixtape Podcast on Facebook. And on Twitter, we are the_mix_tape_pod.
The_mix_tape_podcast on Instagram and the Mixtape, three words, on TikTok. Hold on, dude.
You can email us, yourmixtapeshow@gmail.com. That's going to get you there. Or you can give us a ring on the phone and drop a voicemail. Matt?
You can give us a call at 513-437-2377, or make it easier, just remember 513-HERAD77.
Easiest way is to head to www.themixtapeshow.com. That's our website, where... Seriously? Anyway, head to the site. We have links and a bunch of other stuff available.
Also, on the homepage, our link to Buy Me a Coffee, where you can easily support the show. If you have like 30 seconds, we're begging you, please leave us a review. It really does help a lot.
Okay, now on with the show.
All right, go ahead. Take it away, Casey. Go, Kevin.
We are we're super, super excited to have you, actually.
Yeah, happy to be here.
I'm Jason. The other voice you're going to hear over there is Matt.
Hello.
Come on, Matt.
What's up?
Honestly, man, I'll be honest. It doesn't always happen on this show that I can mention a band from my generation and then talk to my kids about them, and they know who it is, too. And then I can sing part of the song, and they can finish it. That doesn't happen very often. So
yeah,
it's amazing, man. Yeah. I deal with it every weekend, every day. Like, when I'm not in a city performing, nobody knows, but once they know, it's amazing how many different stories come about, you know what I mean? How many different threads this song has over 30 years.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable, and it's the reason that, you know, we still are gone every weekend, because people just clamor for it.
Yeah.
And all my colleagues think like stars. They're still stuck in the 90s mentally.
Right.
Right. They still think that it's this, people look at them the same way. When they don't look at them that way, they look at them in a different way, in a nostalgic way.
Sure.
You have to have those relevance plays throughout time to remind people of their memories of their youth and how fun it was in that time where we all grew up and didn't have a care in the world. Because now everything is just too serious and it sucks, right? But, you know, I mean, it doesn't suck. It doesn't suck to me because I love problem solving. But I imagine for a lot of people who are old and bitter and stuck in their ways, it's a bit challenging. So,
yeah.
And hopefully I can improve somebody's life, and that's ultimately what I want, everybody to get what they want. So
I got to take this opportunity because it's not very often that I get to speak to somebody who I remember the exact moment I heard their music. And for you, this is actually one of those moments. And it kind of ties back to your spread with first getting the notoriety you guys were getting.
I remember specifically, I got the single from There It Is for Christmas one year. And I got it from one of the most unexpected people ever. It was one of my aunts. She came up to me and she just goes, I don't know anything about this music. I was just told you need to hear it. And I was like, okay. So she gave me this single of Whoop, There It Is. And I'm like, all right, cool. And I had a, you know, cassette Walkman at the time and put it in. And I was just like, oh, okay. This is not what I normally listen to at the time. And I was like, but I like it. This is great. And it has been in pretty heavy rotation ever since then. Mm. This morning on my way to work, for example. So you got it. Got an extra play this morning on Spotify from me. So you're welcome. Yeah. Man. Yeah. So, but yeah, it was just one of those moments of just like this song is going to be with me for a very long time. Yeah. And I actually mentioned it to my sister this morning that I was going to be talking to you. And she was just like, oh my God, that's amazing. She was there the day that I got that too. So
it's crazy. Yeah, it's been really cool.
It's been in my life ever since then. So.
I had a neighbor that didn't know who I was. And she was just like talking to some other people that know me in the complex. And she was like, the guy with the avalanche is just so nice. They're like, you know who that is, don't you? And they told her and she was like, oh my God. And she caught me one day. And she said, why? I did not know who you were. I was like, oh, my God, here we go. She's like, no. She said, I just got to tell you this story because I am a trilogy person. And me and my little son love the Mighty Ducks. And he knows every word of your song. Like, stories like that? So come on, cool. Man.
Yeah.
It's so cool, man.
Such a. I would have never thought that she was going to say Mighty Ducks. I thought cheerleading routine in high school or something like that.
Yeah.
But watching the Mighty Ducks with her son. And her son loves the song, and they have to keep rewinding because he loves it so much.
That's fantastic.
So it's like that right there lets you know you have a good song mm-hmm. with a kid.
Yeah.
Here's something that he doesn't know anything about hip hop, doesn't know anything about anything, but he knows what he likes.
Yep.
That's purity.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? That's purity.
Makes it all worth it, too.
Oh, my gosh, man. Yeah. So that has to be promoted. That has to be. You know, she ran the Macon Coliseum where they do everything, like an event center.
Yeah.
In the rural areas, right? There's always an event center or a convention center or something. And she ran it. She said, you need to sign up to this group called AIBA. And I was like, what's that? She's like, it's the International Entertainment Buyers Association. And this is the association where all the buyers are. So why am I messing with promoters and booking agents and all that when I can just go straight to the buyer, the person who puts on the concerts, and work with them? So I go to the conference, and me and Chubby Checker, the only black dudes in the sea of 3,000 people, and I've got a big Whoop, There It Is t-shirt on. And from that day forth, we have been working every weekend ever since.
That's amazing.
You see what I'm saying? Because there's always a way. That's why I try to tell people there's always a way. All the things that I have done in my life through and my career have come from trauma. You know, we were in a 20-year legal battle.
Yeah.
I could have looked at the glass half empty. But I said, well, let me basically become a paralegal because I know I'm going to get my day in court and I better be prepared. So you better know the language. You better know what emotion is. You better know what discovery is. You better look at case law. You better look at cases that were similar to yours and how it came out. Get all that information together. And then find a lawyer. And that's what we did, and we prevailed. And it was at a cost, of course, but I own my rights to my record.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't lose the rights that I had to my record. And once we finish paying, you know, legal fees and stuff like that, well, once the record starts, you know, it's all about the record. So once the licensing money pays off the legal fees from a 20-year legal battle, then it's almost like a pension plan for me. That doesn't happen if I'm not proactive. That doesn't happen if I'm thinking like a star. That doesn't happen if I give up. I never give up. You know, that's why Whoop, There It Is even happened, because I just didn't give up. I kept making songs. We kept making songs. And, you know, we're in Atlanta. In Atlanta, they play up-tempo booty shake. You know, up-tempo stuff. And as a DJ in the biggest clubs in the city, I get to play my own music and people loved it, but I'm in the wrong place.
Right.
So when in Roman, you know, when in Rome, you got to act like the Romans, right? And, you know, I went to Steve and I said, hey, man, we've got to put together some up-tempo stuff, you know, bass music. And he was like, man, I can't really make that. I was like, do it your way. But think Planet Rock and Egyptian Lover. Think of the old records that started us, right? Because Dr. Dre used to make bass records, but it was up-tempo. It wasn't necessarily a bass record, but it was an up-tempo record. Planet Rock, Kraftwerk, all those records. And our first attempt was Whoomp, There It Is. I'll never forget, it was August of 92. We went to the studio, and that I had to go to work in Magic City that night because I was DJ at Magic City, Dope Entertainment Strip Club, one of the most famous ones in the world. I was the head DJ. I popped in a cassette. For those who don't know the cassette, piece of plastic that got a little reel on it that it messes up. You got to put a pencil.
Got to put a pencil
right, the right way.
The name of the show is The Mixtape. So exactly. We like to think our fans are aware of what like tape to think is. That,
but we hope so.
Yeah. Hey. We also have some younger ones.
Yeah, we're starting to branch out. Yeah.
What's a CD?
You know? And you know, the beautiful thing about a cassette tape is that was the first form of GarageBand. Because it was Tascam 4-track, right?
And used one myself.
And you got 4 tracks, and that's how I learned how to make music. Because my boy Johnny Z, who ended up being producer of In Too Deep, Back to the Hotel.
Oh wow!
We went to college together. He stayed on my, and we stayed in the dorms together. He stayed on my floor, and I taught him hip hop. He taught me about heavy metal, and I taught him how to DJ and all that. And he got a 4-track for Christmas our freshman year. And he was like, I cannot figure this thing. I was like, I'll figure it out. And my partner had an 808. I went and made a bunch of beats and then just pot and pan them songs and flutes and beatboxing and anything I could think of to finish those songs. And then I came up with 10 songs, sent them to Steve. He thought I was in the devil worship. But that's to say that we didn't have to go to the studio anymore to pay for studio time.
Yeah.
We could just make records at the house. Steve got a 4-track. We all got 4 tracks. And then we just started on that journey of just making songs and to be able to make your own song and understand how a song is made back then was magic. And fast forward, I dropped that cassette in at work. And to this day, I've been DJ for almost 40 years.
Wow.
That is the biggest response to any record I have ever had. At least 15 people came to the DJ booth like, what the hell is that? I was like, that's my new record. He's like, well, you got one with that. But my hubris as a young man was like, hey, if I could do this, I could do anything. All my records are going to be the bomb. And I kind of shelved it. Bought it back later. Same thing happened. But this time there was a Columbia rep in the house, Alan Cole. He takes it up to New York. New York's calling me like, hey, now all the labels are calling me. Because they know this record can be a big record, but they only know what they know in New York and L.A.
Sure.
They don't know what to do with a record from down south, but I almost gave up. This beautiful lady named Lisa McCall, she said, you need to talk to Al Bell. And who was Al Bell? Well, in the beginning of soul music, there were 3 labels. There was Philly International, there was Motown with Berry Gordy, and it was Stax Records with Al Bell. Fast forward, he's the one that put out the Daisy Dukes record by Deuce, which went gold. I was like, shoot, I don't mind going gold because we didn't have no perception of platinum or any of that back then. We just wanted to be rock stars, right? I called him. He called me back about 2 weeks later. And I was like, look, dude, we got a hit record. I've tested it everywhere. You got to sign us. And he was like, okay. And I was like, man, don't play with me. I said, you haven't even heard the record. And I'll never forget these words. He said, brother, I don't have to hear the record. I hear it in your spirit.
That's fantastic.
Let's agree to agree and get this thing moving. Gave my 2 weeks in Magic City, signed a messed up record deal. And in a month and a half, tag team was platinum. And the rest is history.
That's incredible. I mean, yeah. I know you guys recorded the album, but did you press your own copies of it as well? Like, you were out there.
Yeah, yeah. I had we made 500 cassettes. And it was one record store, and it was a blizzard that weekend. Blizzard of 92. No, 93. And I gave Tina those cassettes on a Thursday, and they were sold out by Saturday, and then the blizzard happened on Saturday. When I went back the next week, she was like, all them things is gone. She said, you and A-Ball and MJG, because that's when their first album came out. You're the only ones that sold the whole time because everybody wanted that record.
That is so cool.
Right? And, you know, there were a lot of, there were several historical things that happened to blow that record up. The first one, Ryan Cameron, who was the nighttime jock in the for V103, the biggest station, they didn't play rap. But what he did is he took the instrumental and played it under his music bed when he was doing his announcements. Mm. So therefore, everybody in the city knew what it was already in the streets. So they were like calling the radio station, because that's back then when it was like you would call the radio station on a Saturday night and request records. That meant something back then. That's what was happening. Kind of forced them to put Whoomp There It Is in their rotation. One of the first rap records they ever put in rotation on a historically R&B radio station. The biggest, you know, one of the big boys, right? So then the next one was Ed Lover. Good friend of mine, because I worked at a real popular clubs. Everybody knew me, right? Deion Sanders, everybody. Because I'm in Atlanta, 1989. So Deion comes that year, the same year I get there. Babyface is there. L.A. Reid is there. Bobby Brown is there. We all moved to Atlanta kind of at the same time. And at Magic City, everybody came to that club just to hang out. So I could have any. I was having stars already hang out in my DJ booth. And I knew everybody. So me watching all this unfold really wasn't a big deal because I knew everybody. I'm talking about everybody who would fly into Atlanta from all over, all the hip hop stars. Everybody knew me already.
Right.
It's just so amazing that it panned out that way, because Ed Lover was like, he heard the record. He was like, what is that record? I was like, that's my record. He was like, money, you got to give me that. I gave him a cassette. He said, I can't do nothing with this. So this was like back a week before I left Magic City. I said, as soon as I get some pressed up, I'll get you a couple. And he came back down about 3 weeks later, because I told Al, I said, we got to get some vinyl pressed up because everybody wants it. And he did it for me. And Ed came down. I gave it to him. And that Monday, he went back to New York. And on MTV, 4:30, Yo MTV Raps, they play Whoomp, There It Is, the instrumental for the whole hour.
Jeez.
And everybody was like, what is that? Right? And that really, the fact that he didn't even play the words, they just played the instrumental.
Wow.
Everybody wanted to know what that record was. Fast forward 3 weeks, I'm sitting on my couch, just tripping, looking at WGN. Because back then, there was only two cable stations, WGN and TBS. That's why everybody loves the Cubs, yep. And that's why everybody loves the Braves. And the Bulls won their third championship.
Oh, that's so true. I never thought about that.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Like, all
I was like, I used to watch Cubs games all the time, and I was in Chicago or anything.
You don't even realize all these things happen, right? Like, when people look at things that happen in history, they have no idea because they weren't there,
right?
Right. But when, but me saying that little thing right there took you back exactly,
oh God. Yeah,
to 1993. So, yeah. The Bulls won their third championship, and WGN is a Chicago station, so they naturally is going to have the parade. 500,000 people in Grant Park, and they're all chanting "Whoomp, There It Is," because right then that's when it was.
Oh blown. Man, it's mind blowing.
Now every cable station in the country. Every city in the country knows about Whoomp, There It Is, and I haven't stopped since.
That's insane. What's the chances you still have one of those original pressings?
We got some.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we got some. Just, you know, it's dwindling, but we have some.
Hey,
you know
man, what I mean? I'm a vinyl collector, so.
Yeah, Jay's a vinyl collector if you have it in your heart.
I got one for you, dude. We got enough. I got one for you. I think we got about 50 left.
So oh, wow, man. That's amazing. I mean, yeah. just to have that, like, to know that you have some of those is just, like, I mean, it's mind-blowing. Oh,
I mean, to this day, I'm an archivist. Like, right now, I am solidifying our legacy. Can solidify my legacy in a way that will last forever.
Yeah.
Because I know how to code everything that we've ever done into the internet.
Yeah.
And that's what I've done. Tag team. Right now I'm at a point where I don't even know if I want to turn on this new tag team engine that I built, because I don't want to be gone Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I like I like weekend, you know, 3-4 weekends a month, right? I like that because I'm just traveling, you know what I mean? But sure. To go from Seattle to Dallas the next day and do a show, and then to New York to do a show the next day, and then come back across to go to San Francisco to do a show, I'm too old for that shit. I mean, physically, right? Because physically, when you're in a plane, you're pressurized.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, if you're ever on a plane, look at the bag of chips when they bring you chips.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks like a balloon.
They inflate.
Like, it looks like a Mylar balloon because it's pressurized. It's doing the same thing to your body. So, yeah. I don't care. It could be a one-hour trip. I feel like I've flown for 4 hours because that's what happens. So, don't have to do two legs. But that's why I like Delta Lines, because you can refresh and almost feels like you didn't even stop. So, but that's another thing. But that's how I approach all of this, right? It's more about me having choices on what I want to do than me having to do things to survive. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Sure.
But once you get older, you don't want to have to do that. You got to have different hustles. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But they all got to be, I call it a big ball of focus. They all have to fit in my big ball of focus. So I get tons of opportunities, but I have to say no a lot, because you want me to go do something. And another mentor of mine is like, man, why don't you do a podcast? And I'm like, because that would take me away from everything.
Yeah.
I said, I'm better as a guest on a podcast because I'm in and out in a half hour and I'm practicing and doing things and learning new things. And the more I talk, the more I learn.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's what I do with tag team. You know, the new play is I had to find out what buyers are looking for. What's their process when they try to put together a concert or a tour? And come to find out, they look at the you know, this group that we're all in called Polestar to see what they're doing. Then they go to their website. Oh, okay. So if I want to go on tour with Vanilla Ice, we tour with them all the time, by the way. I need to write blog posts of how fun it is and how compatible we are and the events that we did and why it was so fun, and optimize it to Vanilla Ice's SERP, so when people type in Vanilla Ice, they see tag team on top talking about Vanilla Ice. So I plant those seeds. I don't expect anything to happen, but now that seed is planted and it sticks forever. You see what I'm saying? So if I did that for every 90s artist, if I can get 3 or 4 shows because of that, I'm happy.
Yeah.
But I might get 40 or 50. Think about that, right? I could do that. Same thing with, I could do that with the NFL. I can do that with the NBA. I could do that with NHL to try to get halftime shows or, you know, intermission shows. I could do that with Major League Baseball. I could do it with Minor League Baseball. Every show we do a synopsis of why we did it and how fun it was, but place it in a place where booking agents are there. We're like, wait, that might be a good idea. They'd be great for this thing. Because what booking agents do, so you got your talent agent, right? Your talent agent is the person that's closest to you. So they're the ones that's going to go out and they're going to beat the bushes and figure out how, you know, what people want to see.
Right.
Right. Now, what they do is they pool you, because they have an agency. So they pool you with 15 other artists. And now you're at the whim of somebody else who has to pick if they want you or not. That's not going to work for me. It has worked, but there's a better way to do it. So why don't I make sure twice a year I send out little bitty pitch decks in the form of paper, like a demo tape we used to do back in the day to record companies, to all the buyers, the list of buyers I got, all the promoters, all the NBA team, physical copy, right? And just send it to every person that's in the office, because somebody's just going to throw it over in the corner and it's just going to be lying around. But if you got those epic Rolling Stone concert pictures in there and you give, it's not really a booklet, but it's a booklet with a logistics map to teach you how to hire and book tag team and that we're clean and that these are the numbers that we do, and give you the information that you need to make a decision, where once those promoters start coming at you, it's like, we did want them and them and them, but can you find tag team? Yeah, we can find tag team. And then they go find us. Then somebody calls me, and then I make the deal, or I give it to my people. They make the deal. Now I'm doing more shows. Because I circumvented that process So if you're not going to pick me from a pool, I'm going to circumvent that, and you're going to see me before you even have a chance to pick. Hmm. You can do that with casinos. You can do that with cruise ships. You can do that with anything. All of it's easier said than done, but that's what gets done. You see what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah.
There is no artist thinking like that. I guarantee you. There's no managers thinking like that. I guarantee you.
Yeah.
Because you got to know four different things to make that possible. I could pitch tons of commercials to TV, to all these ad agencies, but I realized that we'll never make nothing bigger than Scoop There It Is, the Geico commercial we just did.
Which was brilliant.
It's like trying to go out and make another Whoomp There It Is now. Like, we think this song is going to be wicker than Whoomp There It Is. This is going to be the greatest. We got a new record. And people will be like, man, Tag Team was doing real good with that Geico commercial. They need to sit their old ass down, right? As opposed to, if I do want to come back with music, or I do want to come back with things, I come back and I make music and I submit to the ad agencies and I submit to the movies and I let them do the dirty work for me. Then if it's the NBA playoffs, and you know there's always going to be one of those commercials where it just plays it so much that you're like, what song is that?
Yep.
It's like, that's DC from Tag Team. Man, that dude's still making money. which outlook do you like? You know, DC need to sit his old ass down. Damn, he's still making, man. That dude, he knows what he's doing, right?
Yeah.
Like when Jay-Z drops album, it's inspiring to everybody. Because it's inspiring to us because we love him, because we grew up with him. But then it's inspiring young people because it's good music.
Sure.
And they have to like it. That's how it's done. He's a billionaire. So if that's all you're looking at is clout, there is no bigger person that got better, more clout that actually has the talent to back it up.
Yeah.
And it's his same style. It never gets old. Long as the beat is banging, he can say anything he wants because it never gets old, because he's always saying something poignant.
Yep.
That's how simple it is in 2023 to have a record. But if you haven't been doing it, other things to keep you relevant, then it's difficult.
Yeah.
That's why I would go the route I went. I would do it through the ad agencies. I would do it through the movies. I would do it to try to be the introduction of a TV show. That pays more than anything, because not only do you get the upfront money, you get the SAG money. The SAG money is residuals. You can get that's pension plan after pension plan after pension plan that pays you forever. Those are passive income, you know.
Yeah.
Those are basically real estate rental properties for the rest of your life.
Was the Geico commercial, did you pitch that or did they approach you for that?
I can tell you how it happened. 2011, there was a Gawker article. The world thought that Barack Obama was in Whoomp There It Is video, right? And we played with it, right? Because everybody was calling me. Like, I couldn't be found because a reporter from the New York Times had to call the club that I was DJing at and try to talk to him. And I was like, call me Sunday. She called me. She was like, the whole world, everybody thinks that you are, you know, Barack is in your, we got to find out. And I was like, well, give everybody my information.
So, and you know I'm Googling that right now, by the way.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying? And I couldn't be found. You see what I'm saying? Like, in the 2 weeks, we did Stephen Colbert. We did ABC, NBC, CBS. We did all the cable channels. We did Jeannie Most did an expose on us and for CNN when she used to do those. Remember those?
Yes.
And after 2 weeks, I was pissed because I had no money in my pocket. And when things like that happen, I vow they'll never happen again. And that's what started my SEO career. The ability to get on the first page of Google and be seen for the things that I need for me, my businesses, whatever. Fast forward, pandemic, 2020, August. I get a call from my acting agent because I'm an actor as well. And she's like, DC, just got a Geico commercial. And I was like, man, don't play with me, Lena. I haven't even auditioned for no Geico commercial. She's like, no, DC, Tag Team. I went to the Tag Team phone and there it was, call from Allie. She was like, we really want you guys to do this commercial. We've been working on this for a while. I went and, you know, like I said, checked that. And the fact that I do SEO and I could be found, she went to IMDb and they called my acting agent because that's the information to book me. and that's how we got booked. They could have had other stuff going on. If they couldn't find me, they could have just kept it moving, right? But that's how it happened to me. So once that happened, I said, well, this is perfect synergy. I let my agent make the deal because that's what they do. I don't got to go get no, you know, this is a learning experience too. How does this work? How does this whole apparatus work? And they had never really, they've done stuff before, but nothing on this level. This is a national Geico commercial that's going to be played a lot. And it was a 2-year contract. And I learned how that whole process worked. I'm best friends with the C, you know, with all the higher ups, still to this day, the Martin agency, the CEO, I'm real good friends with her. And we got commercial of the year and we took a photo shoot to be on the front page of the biggest trade in the world, Adweek magazine, at the damn Tesla factory in New York. And I got to sit with her for a whole day and pick her brain and realize that got that validation that I'm on the right track as far as what I want to do and everything I'm trying to accomplish. I was like, I got some stuff for you. Now, I could have gave them 10 other new Geico commercials, but they don't do doubles, right?
Right.
Last time they did doubles was the Caveman, and that didn't work out so well. Like, the commercials worked, but then they just tried to do everything. TV shows.
TV
and all
shows,
that.
Didn't work.
Yeah. And come to find out at that time that we were the biggest Geico commercial in history. I said, you tripping. Bigger than the Caveman? She was like, yeah. Like, bigger than Hump Day? It's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, my God. So what I did, I said, I have to create my value add. So I went and said, who could get me these numbers? And I went to Nielsen. Had meetings with the board of Nielsen. They hooked me up. Went to another company. They hooked me up. So now I got my value add. So if I want to bring stuff to people, I could say, they go, well, why should we mess with you? Well, look at all these articles.
Look at these numbers.
I'm
going to
cover Ad Week. Look at my value add. I know what I'm doing. Right? Now, if you don't want this, I can take it to State Farm. I could take it to somewhere else. I could take it to your competitor because that's what I'm going to do. But I'm giving you first right of refusal and you the opportunity because I'm going to make this work because I'm a creative. I learned what it took to put an ad together with an ad agency because I auditioned for commercials and we get pitch decks. But who thought getting pitch decks to audition for a commercial is the way that you make pitch decks to pitch a product to an ad agency? Same thing.
It's amazing.
And I got all the stuff they sent me and I asked questions. And I know I know these people. So for me, it didn't make sense to try to keep making Geico commercials because there'll never be a bigger Geico commercial. I understand what my place is in history.
Yeah.
And that Geico commercial was special because it came when everybody was starting to lose their mind in the pandemic. And it brought everybody joy because it came around, it dropped on Christmas.
Yep.
And it just let everybody know what we used to do, which is party.
Yeah, and it really did bring everybody joy. Like, seeing that commercial, man, I mean, it just, I remember, like, talking about it with my friends. Like, oh, my God, did you see the commercial?
Yep.
And tag team, and they're eating ice cream, and it's funny as hell. And,
yeah, he specifically brought it up to us on the shows. Like, oh, my God, I got to see this. I watched it right then.
Yeah,
it was so good.
It was wonderful. And you guys have just, you've just had this history of making yourself more and more iconic. Like, you guys are part of the zeitgeist of an entire generation.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's, we, not to name drop, but we recently talked to Kevin Eastman, who was the founder of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, right?
Yeah.
And I said this to him, and I can literally say the same thing to you.
Yep.
It's like, how does it feel to know you have something that is going to, I mean, it's going to be around and remembered long after we're all gone.
And that's why it's important to be an archivist.
Yeah.
Because you can set it up to where everybody will know about this record long after you're gone for the rest of time. If there's going to be a party, that has to be on that playlist.
It has to be on the playlist.
Yes, it does.
There's 10 songs that got to be on a playlist at a party. That's going to be one of them.
Hmm.
Period.
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
You're definitely not wrong.
Whatever it is going to be, whoop, there it is on that, because I'm going to make it so. Whatever nook and cranny that we haven't conquered, that's what I'm, because I know how to get in front of people. You know, perfect example. Yeah. We did a record with Mickey Mouse and Minnie. I taught Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse how to rap them in the bowels of Disney, teaching these characters how to rap, the husband and wife team.
Yeah.
And that record lasted 10 years. Kids heard Woomp, There It Is in kid form for 10 years, right? Then Gold Noodle happens, where they redo this almost like Jock Jam, but a Jock Jam for kids. Jock Jam, we're the first one on the first volume of Jock Jam. We're number one on the first volume of so many compilations.
Yeah.
And yeah. The one for kids started in 2000, where they make a video of the kids. They did a video to Woomp, There It Is, and now every school in the country, elementary school and preschoolers, got that Gold Noodle, and they let the kids dance to it to wear them out, or either when they're good during, at the end of the week, you can dance to Woomp, There It Is. So when you come fast forward and you told the story of, you could say you start off with the first verse and your son can finish the rest of it. Mm-hmm. It's because as a kid, he used to sing it in preschool, yeah, and kindergarten in school. Man. You see what I'm saying? As a kid, they were acclimated to this record way with nobody even knowing, right? Mm-hmm. Like we get to go places nobody else goes. Now, it might be pot, like we did NASCAR. We were the grand marshals for the Talladega 500.
Wow.
In my wildest dreams, I never thought we'd be grand marshals saying, gentlemen, start your engines at the Talladega 500. But that is a whole different segment of society.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because most people didn't even know we did that. But now I get to go back and I get to archive all that. I get to do a blog post and say tag team flashback. I remember when we did this and tell a story of how fun it was, because a story is only as good as the person who's telling it. If I'm sitting in a campfire and a dude's trying to tell me, my kid, and he's trying to tell me a scary story, if you don't know how to tell scary stories, I'm bored. But if he knows how to tell a scary story, I don't go to sleep that night. That's what you have to do when you tell. When that is the whole point of everything, is tell a better story. I am a storyteller. It comes from all my experiences. Like, you guys have asked me, what, two questions?
Yeah, about that. You've answered most of our questions before.
Yeah, you really have.
Because
yeah.
I can tell the same story. The same story a thousand different ways, depending on who I'm talking to.
Yeah.
Right? Like, just how we started. We didn't start with any of the history. We started with life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But life ties into all this, because life is what happens to you as you mature.
Yeah.
So all these traumatic things are part of my life that have made me better, because I say that'll never happen again, because I'm going to learn. And I'm not going to make the same mistake twice, because life is baked in the cake. Things are going to happen.
Sure.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Trust me.
It's how you react to them. It's how you adapt to it. It's how, you know, I've just come up with mechanism. Like, I don't argue with people. Why am I going to argue over stupid stuff? Arguing is people who want to get their point across. And I'm like, I don't ever really have to get my point across. I'm not about to argue with you about something that I already know about.
Yeah.
I can't do it. Because there's no matter what, it's not like it was back in the day. Now it's like, it's my way, or I'm a double down, triple down, and I'm going to go in that hole of just untruth just to be right. And I love to be wrong, because being wrong is the path to being right, especially when you can admit it. And it kills me inside, because I don't want to be wrong. But when you can admit it, now your mind is truly open and everything is free.
Yes.
Just do what you got to do to overcome all that stuff. So you'll never know if I'm mad. You'll never know if I could be torn up, pissed off inside, but I won't show it. But just be quiet. That negative energy ends up turning to positive energy in about 5 minutes. Here's the beauty of negativity. There are always nuggets of positivity in the negativity. There's always opportunity.
I say that all the time. Yep. I really do. I'm like, there's always a positive, even in a negative. If you just, like, it's easy to focus on the negative. It really is. But like, okay, but what's the good thing here? There's got to be something.
Yeah. And here's the beauty of that. And you will understand what I'm about to say. I thrive in the bizarro world. I say that to young people. Like, huh? What's that? I say, you know, you not. I thrive in the bizarro world. If you don't thrive in the bizarro world, you're a victim. You're a victim of
it.
And people don't even know that that's the, you know, that's the upside down for Superman.
Right.
Same thing. I thrive in the upside down. Yeah.
Which
because in every
I almost did it again.
Just positivity.
You almost did it again. What'd you almost do again?
Quoting lyrics right back to him. Yeah. You said upside down, and I was like, and inside out.
And he has a tendency to do this.
Believe how much that happens.
Yeah. I imagine it happens all the time.
Yeah. Back from we did a park in New Jersey. And it was fun. They had a tent. It was the mayor's party. And the mayor just had people and food and just, man, it was just crazy. And the mayor was drunk and he was just, all he was doing was singing lyrics.
That's so good.
It's like, you guys kicked ass. He was just singing lyrics. He was just so happy, right? That's our job, to bring joy.
That's what, like, you guys do. I mean, yeah. You always have. That's one of the things.
It's a difference, man. Like, it's a difference from rocking the party. Rocking the party is different. Actually bringing people joy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To see that is unbelievable. We did the week before last, we did a show, 10,000 people. It was unexpected. I was laying in the bed, getting ready to watch football. Got a call. It's like, can you guys get to Columbus? I was like, for what? Like, there's Tone Loc got sick and they need somebody. Can you guys do it? I was like, we'll be there. Got on the plane in an hour, flew up there, went and did sound check, came back, relaxed. And to us, it was just a luck show. We got a luck show, but that show was the Zucchini Festival. And in Obetz, Ohio. And there was 10,000 people in this, like, it's like a little field, but it's like a stadium too. Kind of like, you know, where the racetracks are, where they do the buggies and the horses and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So it was like that, 10,000 people. We had to get a police escort to get there because there was so many people trying to get there. And the thing I love the most is that most artists don't want to go first, but I thrive on going first because I will always be the party starter.
You're going to get the party started.
My whole life is, I'm a DJ first and foremost. So I'm a party starter. So I would love to go first because one, we get to go first. Two, we get to get it over with and go back to the hotel and go to sleep because my ass is old. Three, you know, we're the tip of the sword. Everybody is there and everybody's on time or they're waiting. And for some reason that everybody's there and ready to go and anxious. They can't believe, they are so surprised at the energy we bring and the fun, because everything is call response. They are yelling and screaming and doing anything I want them to do, they'll do. Singing, I make them do everything because that's what it's all about. That's our strength, right? I'm not bringing up turntables and all that. I'm not doing that. Our thing is, can you rock a party? Can you move a crowd? And that's when I get to see joy on people's faces because it's a pleasant surprise and it takes them back. And it's like, this just isn't a filler group. These dudes entertain the crap out of us.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, because other groups say, why you guys always go first? And you know, some are like, I'd love to go first. I see what y'all do. But other groups are like, their ego's in it. They're still in the 90s. How come you guys like, because you got to go up after us. You got to go up after all that energy.
I like it.
Then what do you do with it at that point? Do you keep it going or do you just drop the ball?
Yeah. If All for One goes up after us, they sing slow songs.
Yeah.
If Color Me Bad goes up after, and actually I saw a difference in Color Me Bad show. Now their show is more energy. They adapted. I am happy to see that.
Yeah.
I am happy to see that because I look at everybody's show. You get to go and you can do the same show forever because you're never really in front of the same audience. But I switch the show up every show. I'll do a different show. It's just about, it's like having, hey, if you got 100 records in your crate, are you going to play those records the same way every night? You're going to flip, you're going to switch it up. I don't know what I'm going to do till I see the crowd. So all our show is in pieces, right? According to the crowd, I get to pick the pieces.
That's cool.
That we do. That is the most effective way and most efficient way to do it, because I always stress to every person we work with, we are trying to be one less thing you have to worry about. They're like, we're so happy you guys are here, man. It's so easy to work with you guys. And it's like, they bring us back because they do several shows in regions. So we get to run the gauntlet of everything that they do, because they know all we need is 5 minutes for sound check. They know that we're all in. They don't have to pay for airfare, hotels, or anything. We're self-sufficient. We are one less thing you have to worry about. And everybody else gives them headaches. And it's like, not us. There's an advantage to being easy for people.
Yeah.
We live in a society of overpromise, underdeliver. And I want you to be pleasantly surprised at how easy it is and what we bring to the table.
I mean,
and how professional we are, because it's not to be, people don't care. Some people don't care about other people. I care about other people's time.
It's been an easy interview.
Very, yeah.
And I've learned a ton.
Yeah.
You should write several books.
Yeah, well, you haven't already.
I am. Like, my first book I'm writing, people are like, I'm writing it like a website, and people like, all the old schoolers are like, you can't do that. And I was like, you don't even get it. I said, I'm formatting this book like a website, because if my first book is called Mindset to Mastery. It's about the combinations you come up with in life that helps you get to the next phase of what you're trying to do. Right. And everybody's going through this. My book is structured on the questions people ask to enrich their lives. How do I do this? Somebody please help me. A lot of advice is not good advice, right? But all I can tell you is what I did, and you're looking at me. You're looking at the product of it. So this is what I did to get to where I'm at. This is what you can do by mirroring what I've done, because it's all relative. The people who understand it takes work, they're going to read my book, or people are going to hire me to come speak at their conferences. Like, I'm in the National Speakers Association. I'm working on a TED Talk. I'm about to speak at MIT. Hmm. I'm speaking at all kind of conferences, not even trying. I'm a caveman and found a piece of rock that's shaped like a knife. What? I am a caveman, and a lightning hit a tree, and now I got fire forever. So now I don't got to eat raw meat no more. All I do is try to tell people how I do things, how I've done it. And either you like it or you don't. And if you don't, it's all good. But I know I don't quit. I play offense. I don't care what it is. Show me what I got to do and let me get it done. That's it. And I would like to thank you guys for letting me just come on here and run my mouth. Because like I said,
no,
I learned more.
Man. Like, no, I feel it's kind of inspiring. It's been a thing that we've talked about a lot on this show, is the fact that we started a show. We did a show many, many years ago, back when podcasting became a thing, and it got pretty big, and we quit that show, and we decided, like, we wanted to start another show, and it was going to be just for fun, and we did that for about a year, and then it was like, you know, it was starting to become work for me, like I was putting in a lot of time, which I didn't mind, I enjoyed it, I finally said, hey, look, if we're going to do this, let's do it, let's make it serious, let's actually go all in. And it's been a learning experience for us over the years. Like, when we had our first guest on, like, I didn't know how to get interviews. I didn't know how to talk to people. And we just started taking chances. And it's been a learning process over the years. So to have someone like you on, it's inspiring. And it's really cool to hear, you know, the way you look at the world and listen to the things you say. So no, it's been great. We really appreciate it, man. It's been fantastic. So we love it.
Yeah, so, I appreciate
you
too, man.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Thank you for giving us time, man. Love to have you again sometime, man.
Yeah. Hey, man, thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
You have a wonderful day.
You too. Man.
Take care.
All right, man.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Party people! Yeah! Tag team music in full effect. That's me, DC, the brain supreme. And my man, Steve Boatman. Tag team, back again. Check, get directed, let's begin. Party on, party people, let me hear some noise. DC's in the house, jump, rejoices. There's a party over here, a party over there. Wave your hands in the air, shake a dare in the air. Three words when you get me busy. Who is it? Upside down.
down and inside out. I'm about to show all you folks what it's all about. Now it's time for me to get on the mic and make this tag team party hype. I'm taking it back to the old school, cause I'm an old fool who's so cool. If you wanna get down, I'ma show you the way. Three words mean you're getting busy. You folks, what it's all about. Now it's time for me to get on the mic and make this tag team party hype. I'm taking it back to the old school, cause I'm an old school. He's so cool.